If they can annex those people, Mother Russia will live on. A land grab to save a dying empire, Reese stated.
That's it, Danreb confirmed.
Look at human history. It's what nations do. Stalin forcibly relocated people in an attempt to grow the empire. I actually think they're going to push south as well, into places like Azerbaijan and maybe even Turkey.
What about NATO? Freddy asked.
It's already begun in Crimea. What did NATO do about that?
Don't get me wrong, they've got Europe nervous.
Sweden has reinstated their draft, which has everything to do with this, but without U.S. leadership, no one except perhaps the Germans are in a place to oppose Russian expansion. Remember, they shot down an airliner full of Europeans over Ukraine and the world shrugged its shoulders.
But the current Russian administration didn't invade Crimea. That was the last guy, Freddy said.
Exactly. He was one of Andrenov's people, and with him out of power, the colonel is out of favor with the current administration. Andrenov would love nothing more than to see Putin or someone like him back at the helm.
Would Andrenov be bold enough to attempt a coup? Reese wondered aloud.
He spent his entire career doing just that around the world, so I wouldn't doubt it for a minute.
Sounds like someone could scoop up Andrenov and charge him with war crimes or something to get him out of the picture, Reese offered.
Yeah, good luck with that. Between his bullshit charity and all of the K Street suits he has on retainer, he's untouchable. I've been sounding the alarm on him for years, but it all falls on deaf ears. This asshole should be behind bars, but instead, he's throwing galas that are attended by half of the U.S. Senate.
What do you mean? Reese asked.
Andrenov runs a foundation focused on helping the downtrodden across the globe or some such nonsense. It's really a front for influence peddling around the world. You want to drill for oil in Nigeria or mine for lithium in the stands, you give the foundation eight figures, and their people on the ground open those doors. The funds are cleaned up and distributed to politicians through Stuart McGovern's lobbying firm. Money makes a lot of friends in D.C., especially in an election year.
Sounds like someone we should talk with, Reese observed. Any idea who he might use as hired help if he were going to make a move?
Impossible to say. Between his GRU days and his foundation, he has endless contacts around the world.
We have some single-source intel that he may be using an ex-Syrian general to hire mercenaries, Freddy added.
I'll buy that. I think his fingerprints are on both sides of the Syrian civil war, but that's not my area. If I were in your shoes and had that information, I'd be waterboarding Syrian generals until I could link Andrenov to something concrete.
He paused.
But that's probably why they don't let me leave this building.
Reese was starting to like this guy.
We'll do our best. On another topic, do you know Oliver Gray? Reese asked.
What about him? Andy replied, his demeanor stiffening.
What are your thoughts on him?
100% off the record.
I've never trusted that little weasel. I brought up some questionable behavior of his a few years back and was told to stay in my lane. You wouldn't believe the PC bullshit in this place.
Any chance that he's somehow associated with Andrenov?
It wouldn't shock me in the least. I'd honestly be surprised if Andrenov didn't have a minion somewhere in this building.
Appreciate your candor. What are they going to do to me? Put me out to pasture, in a tiny office somewhere, and bury me in paperwork?
Danreb waved his hand around at his surroundings. The two frogmen exchanged looks.
We seriously appreciate your help, Freddy said.
Don't let your guard down with Andrenov, Danreb warned. He's evil, but more importantly, he's a capable son of a bitch.
We won't. Thanks again for your time, Freddy said.
Hope it was worth the trip. Call me if you need anything. Danreb handed each man a business card.
So we could have called you instead of flying halfway across the world to meet with you? Reese couldn't resist.
That was before I liked you guys. He rose and extended his hand. Welcome home, Mr. Reese.
Chapter 67. Basel, Switzerland, October.
Colonel Andrenov welcomed Gray into his opulent home like a returning son, something that meant a great deal to someone who had grown up without a father. Gray wasn't naive, but he wanted to think that he was more than a mere asset to Andrenov. Nonetheless, he was relieved and excited to have finally arrived. He had never felt more important, more needed. A lavish lunch had been prepared for them by Andrenov's staff, and Gray's appetite met the challenge, putting down roast beef, lobster, and a variety of desserts. Andrenov was unapologetically Russian, but his world travels had expanded his taste in cuisine far beyond the steppe. Chilled vodka, Russian, of course, was served with the meal, and Gray's head swam as he followed his mentor into the library. The room was nearly three stories high, with an elaborately carved and paneled bookcase rising to the ceiling. A black and gilded wrought iron staircase allowed access to the upper levels of the collection, where leather-bound editions of Russian literary classics and treasured manuscripts pilfered from third-world libraries and museums lined the shelves. Andrenov's desk sat opposite the books in front of a large granite fireplace, where flames danced around the logs as if trying to escape. Above the mantel hung a masterfully done copy of his favorite painting, Reply of the Zaporozhian Cossacks. The 1891 oil depicts a crowd of laughing men composing a profane and insulting reply to Sultan Mehmed IV of the Ottoman Empire's demand as the son of Mohammed, brother of the sun and moon, grandson and viceroy of God, that they voluntarily and without any resistance submit to Turkish rule. The Cossack's irreverent response read, in part, O Sultan, Turkish devil and damned devil's kith and kin, secretary to Lucifer himself, what the devil kind of knight art thou that canst not slay a hedgehog with your naked arse? The devil shits and your army eats. Thou shalt not, thou son of a whore, make subjects of Christian sons. We have no fear of your army. By land and by sea we will battle with thee. Fuck thy mother. Ilya Repin's original painting hung in the State Russian Museum in St. Petersburg, but it would soon find its way into Andrenov's home if his plans came to fruition. The painting, as well as the Cossack's letter to the Sultan, epitomized Andrenov's disdain for his enemies. It was an ever-present reminder that the struggle between East and West was an enduring one. Gray admired the painting, as well as its surroundings. It was a grand and masculine room. It had been 3 years since he had seen the Cold Warrior. He had aged visibly, but wore his years well for a man who had seen and done so much. Gray guessed Andrenov's age at 70, but couldn't be sure and would never dare ask. He wore a brown custom suit of what looked like fine cashmere, with a starched white shirt underneath, open at the collar. The Edward Green country boots on his feet were highly polished, and he looked every bit the wealthy European gentleman. A paisley pocket square completed the ensemble. His hair was salt and pepper, and his neatly trimmed beard matched, framing an unremarkable face. His eyes, though, were anything but unremarkable. A hypnotic gray, nearly silver in their luminescence. They could calm or strike fear, seduce or amuse. Gray wondered what mood Andrenov's eyes would betray next.
"Let us drink to your journey, Oliver,"
the Russian offered. The men raised their glasses and toasted to victory.
"You have come so far and are at my side, where you belong at long last."
"You will soon lead Russia back from the brink," affirmed Gray.
"This is your home, at least for now. You are safe here. You have worked hard for me, Oliver, for Russia. You have brought us the keys to our country's future."
"You believed in me when my own country didn't."
"That's because that was not your country, Oliver. just an unfortunate place of birth. Their oceans and their wealth make the Americans arrogant. They are like the rich man's son who thinks he's earned his wealth. They would never see in you what I see. You recruited one of our very best assets, Oliver, and the mission that you planned in London was executed beyond our expectations. I am proud of you.
Thank you, Colonel. What can I do now? How can I help?
You must be my eyes. You must travel where I cannot. We are close, Oliver, so close, but only you can get us there. I say this without exaggeration. Russia's future depends on you. Islam is destroying us from within. The Muslim population continues to grow, while our ethnic population is in a steady decline. President Zubarev is too weak to stand up to them, too weak to do what must be done. We need justification, Oliver, justification to liberate the ethnic Russian people of Ukraine and push all the way to Azerbaijan in the south and Poland to the west.
Are the snipers ready?
Gray asked.
They are. And they are en route to the site as we speak.
Gray nodded. He was finally part of the varsity team, and it was almost time for the championship game.
Oliver, I fear that a simple assassination will not be enough to achieve our goal. It is not 1914 anymore. Assassinating Archduke Ferdinand was enough to plunge the world into the Great War back then. Today, it will take something more.
I see.
Today, the assassination of a world leader would be met by days of mourning and sanctions. The Chechen, Tasho, will help give us the justification we need. But that will not be enough. We require something that cannot be ignored.
What is that?
Gray asked, though he already knew the answer.
The West calls it a CBRN attack for chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear. We are going to focus on the chemical.
Chapter 68. CIA Headquarters, Langley, Virginia, October. Reese was glad to have Freddy for a guide as they made their way from the den of analysts where the agency had stashed Andy Danreb to the executive level where Vic Rodriguez's office was located. Unlike Danreb's broom closet, Rodriguez's space was large and uncrowded, with natural light pouring in from windows that lined an entire side of the room. Photos, plaques, and memorabilia from Vic's days as a special forces and paramilitary operations officer lined the walls and adorned the bookshelves.
Gentlemen, welcome to Langley. Reese, do you believe me now that this wasn't an ambush?
I'm beginning to, Reese smiled, looking around the office, a faded black-and-white photograph on the wall catching his eye. The image was of a group of proud-looking young men wearing World War II duck hunter camouflage uniforms and carrying a variety of U.S.-made weapons, including a 1941 Johnson semi-automatic rifle. "Is this what I think it is?" Reese inquired, walking toward the framed photo for a closer look.
"Brigade 2506 and 61. That is my father's squad. Just before leaving for Bahia de Cochinos, the Bay of Pigs. He was the only one in that photo to survive," Vic explained.
"Brave men," was the only thing that Reese could think to say.
"That they were, Reese. Just like the operatives we have in the field today, we need all the good people we can get," he continued, directing his comments at Reese. "Let's take this into the conference room."
Vic motioned for the men to follow. Reese and Freddy removed their phones, storing them in the designated small safes that looked like tiny post office boxes outside the door to the secure room.
Can I get you guys anything? Coffee? Water?
I'm good, Vic. You want anything, Reese?
Reese shook his head in response, not wanting to slow things down to doctor up his coffee. Everyone took a seat, and the men gave Rodriguez an update from Jules Landry's interrogation and Andy Danreb's thoughts on Vasily Andreyev. Vic took it all in and looked at the ceiling for a moment before responding.
Andreyev sure makes a compelling conspirator. We need to figure this out, but I want it done quietly. I don't want Andreyev's friends on Capitol Hill sticking their noses into this and tipping our hand. I also have some disturbing news on Oliver Gray. The counterintelligence team is putting a picture together that isn't going to boost any careers at the Office of Security. It's clear that he's been turned. What isn't clear is how much damage he's done. This breach could be on the Aldrich Ames level. As you may know, he passed multiple polygraph examinations while spying for the Soviet Union and Russia. We're keeping it compartmentalized for now while we figure out how to play it. We need to know when he was turned and to whom he's been passing intelligence. Any ideas on how we pursue this Syrian general lead in Greece?
Reese responded first. Assuming we can find General Yadid, the second that we or the Greeks snatch him up, the network will go to ground and the trail will go cold. So things are going to have to happen fast. If this is big enough for Andreyev to burn a CIA asset, then it's 9/11 big, he continued. We need to get the geographic combatant commanders to recall their deployed SOCOM components, particularly their CIF companies, CRF or whatever we're calling them now, and have them on standby. Spin up redacted back here and get the standby squadrons ready to roll. In the meantime, we will keep pushing Landry for information while you get your analysts and assets turning over every stone for a location of General Qusim Yadid. We also need you to start working for approvals to wrap him up, so whatever channels you need to manipulate or favors you need to call in, do it. We need SecDef or POTUS approval to capture him regardless of where he is, and it needs to be us. We'll have a short window to extract information and act on it, so it can't be a partner or allied force. This has to be unilateral. And while all that is going down, we need to ensure Mo doesn't get burned as working for U.S. intelligence. Am I forgetting anything, Freddy?
That's some good officer stuff, Reese. Very impressive.
Freddy smiled.
Well, I used to get paid for that sort of thing.
Reese grinned back.
You still do, Reese, Rodriguez interjected. I'll get the ball rolling on my end. The approvals are going to be a pain in the ass. They always are. And having seen my share of high-level missions over the years, I can tell you this one might take a while.
Well, do what you can, Vic, Reese said. We'll be standing by to stage for a mission to capture Yadid as soon as you give us the approval. From there, we'll flex based off his intel.
I can do that. But we have a problem, Rodriguez said.
What's that? Reese asked.
While you guys were in the air, Mo disappeared.
Chapter 69. Kurdistan, Iraq. October. Landry's blindfold was removed to reveal his worst nightmare. He had been dragged out of the sterile interrogation room and was in some type of storage building. It was hot, and he was beginning to sweat out what little moisture his body had left. He was naked, standing on an uneven, rickety wooden stool, with his hands cuffed behind his back. A piano wire had been tied to the rafter above and looped around his genitals in a way that ensured it would tighten like a noose if more downward force were applied. He had to stand on his toes to prevent the wire from tightening painfully, which was exhausting after days without food,